Now, I have with me this afternoon on Choice Tunes, and we know what we're going to do. We're going to hear all about his life. Well, I've told you to him. I normally try to keep it a bit secret, a bit longer, but anyway, messed that up. All about his life and the eight songs that have been part of that life, not the songs he would listen to today in the CD or going home, but things that have had an influence on his life. Now, you've heard the person before. It's George from U3A. He's been in here with John telling us all about the programs of U3A in Hillsville. But today we're going to be talking about George's life. Welcome, George.
Welcome. Thank you, Alan.
And it's good to have you along. So, George, we know at the moment you're involved with the U3A, but that we want to go way, way back. And where were you born?
Well, actually, I was born in Australia.
Yep.
My parents emigrated out from Scotland, and my brother and sister, and the first tune that I've picked coming up soon...
Let's stick with that. So when you came, where were you born in...
I was born in Melbourne.
Yep.
And I think I was a shipboard romance, but we won't sort of say that.
Well, all right.
I popped out fairly early. So well, I was, arrived in Australia.
And so where did you live with your parents?
They first arrived in Sydney. They came down to Melbourne, thank God.
Yep.
And we lived in Brunswick.
Brunswick,
and I was born in the Royal Women's Hospital in Carlton.
Righto. So were you brought up in Brunswick?
Yes.
Righto. So... We don't talk about school because everybody goes to some sort of school. So, all right, so when you left, did you have a part-time job while you were at school?
No, I was at, I wasn't allowed to have one. They didn't let me out.
You were kept boy.
I couldn't even get a paper round. So right. My first job was basically not until I left high school. So.
Right, so what was your first job?
My first job was actually Ford Motor Company.
Right, and what were you doing at the Ford Motor Company sort of so early in life?
Sorry?
You were obviously still very young, so what were you able to do at the Ford Motor Company?
Actually, I was hired on their graduate trainee program.
Yep.
And went in straight into sales and marketing.
Yep.
And basically, sort of, there was a career path in the sales and marketing area. You sort of learnt all the ropes at head office.
Yep.
And once they thought you had it and you've sort of gone up the system a little bit, your first job was in the sales and marketing area was to be a field manager.
To be what?
A field manager.
So you were managing, because let's be clear with this, because people think when you talk about cars that you were a dealership, but you worked for Ford itself.
Ford Motor Company.
So when you were talking about sales and marketing, you'd have been sales and marketing to the dealers,
yes,
wouldn't you?
Yes.
In a defined area?
Actually, I was in my area specialised in sales, planning and distribution.
But in a particular area, like of Melbourne.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, yep. I started head office.
Yep.
As I said, I then went out to South Australia.
All right.
I was transferred there. That was where my field of operation was going to be and where I was going to learn the ropes.
Yep.
And basically a field manager's job was you got a bunch of dealers.
Yep.
And they were your responsibility. So you'd...
sell cars.
Well, basically my job was to help them sell cars, but... by doing so, stuffing them full of stock. So they had to get out and
sell them.
So they had to get rid of them. So that was my job.
All right, so how long were you with the Ford Motor Company?
I was with Ford Motor Company for 14 years.
Right, so you were in South Australia.
I then stayed there for about 2 years, learned the ropes. I was then promoted to go to Brisbane.
Yep.
As the state planning and distribution manager for Queensland.
Yep.
We had a factory up there at the time, and I was also in charge of helping out and from a sales point of view.
Yep.
Was there for 3 years.
Yep.
Came back for, you'd like to hear this, the XD launch.
Yes, love the XDs, yes.
I've seen your car. And then I basically was a planning manager for about a few years, and then I was distribution manager for a few years.
Yep.
I quite enjoyed my 14 years there.
Yep.
So there was a small company called AMI which wanted to change their name to Toyota.
Oh, yep.
And they were dragging just about everyone they could find from Ford Motor Company.
Oh.
And it was my turn. They sort of offered me a deal and I thought, this is too good to knock back.
Yep.
And I can remember the first meeting I had at Toyota, I walked into their boardroom, looked around and I said to the guy next to me, It's that one person over there. He didn't work at Ford.
That was all.
Because that was four of them.
So how long were you at Toyota?
Toyota for about 5 years.
Yep.
It was a great time, actually. It was whilst Toyota was setting themselves up in Australia and they were amalgamating AMI and TIS
yep.
to create the Toyota Australia.
Yep.
It was interesting. Tried to get the two parties together.
Yep.
TIS sort of wanted to control everything and AMI wanted to control everything.
That always happens with amalgamation. After there, where did you go then, George?
I spent 14, well now almost 20 years in the car industry.
Yep.
And I was offered a job by a company called TDG, which was Transport Development Group.
Right.
It was based in Australia, but they were British owned.
Yeah.
Because part of my last function at Toyota was to set up a director-dealer delivery system.
Oh, yeah.
They had been operating on distributors in each state.
Yep.
And so I had sort of put all that together and it was for a... And so they wanted someone to do it and they didn't think they could handle the new distribution system, so they offered me some money and everyone does things for money.
Yep.
I can remember the boss at the time, John Connemoss, called me in and said, listen, I'd like to really like you to stay. How much are they offering it? And I told him, and he said, well, good luck.
So how long were you there then, George?
I was there for about 5 years again, sort of built up the system.
Yeah.
We really only started with 2 to 3 trucks and the rest were subbies.
Yep.
And then managed to build it up. We had about a $40 to $50 million turnover.
That's right.
We had a massive fleet and it was that massive and that good. We were bought out.
That's good. So then where did you go then, George?
I sat around and did a few things on myself.
Yep.
And then I basically went back into the distribution network and as a consultant.
For motor companies?
No, for actually transport companies.
Oh, yeah.
So my first stint was at TNT.
Yep.
And usually as a consultancy, I've got to say, I lasted probably about 4 years at each stop.
Yep.
And sort of moved on. So it was TNT. I then went to Toll.
Yep.
Had a go at DHL.
Yep.
And sort of basically changed around, you know, so it was different, not necessarily all cars, with a lot of distribution, general freight.
Yeah.
Coles contract was the last one I basically was involved with.
Right.
And then I decided that I just wanted to get closer to retirement because I was getting on a little bit.
Yep.
So I wanted a nice cushy job.
Yep.
And I probably shouldn't have said that. I hope they're not listening. But I actually went to work for Mission Australia.
Oh, yeah.
As a salesperson, and basically my function at that was to go out and find employers that would take people that are currently on the dole.
Oh, right.
So my job was to get them off the dole into a job. And it was just interesting. I did that for 4 or 5 years. And then unfortunately I did fall a little ill.
That's so good.
And had a few problems with my heart, which I still have.
Yep.
And I threw the towel in and I moved to Hillsville.
Sounds good. Righto. Let's start on the music. Midnight at the Oasis with Maria Muldaur. Why did you pick that one, George?
I've always liked the song. And I was just going to explain a little bit about my early origins in the country with Scottish parents.
Yep.
And none of my friends could ever understand a word they said.
Yep.
And I don't understand what this song's about. So there you go.
Let's go.
Romance in our hands, heaven's holding a half moon.
So, George, when you decided to retire, what made you move to Healesville out of all the places you could have gone?
I don't know. I honestly can't answer that question. It was we were in Warrandyte, which was still out of town.
Yep.
But we'd had five children, had a big double-storey house, in which we didn't need anymore. Yep. And my wife, Rebecca, said, let's move to something smaller because I don't want to clean big places.
Well, that's
I want a smaller garden. So we went out and bought this place in Healesville that's... It's got as many rooms as the Warrandyte house, and it's got a massive garden. And it's cold and wet half the year, but it's a very nice spot. Once having been there, having arrived there, it took a little bit of getting used to just the change from one area to another.
Yeah.
But with U3A and the people that we've met through there, my wife has built up this massive array of friends. And she wouldn't leave there if you couldn't pull her away from the place now.
Terrific. Summer holiday, Cliff Richards.
Why summer holiday? Well, I
wish it was summer today.
Well, as I said, I'm sure your listeners will enjoy listening to it. Now, summer holiday was particularly, I can remember as a family, we would always, Christmas was down the beach.
Yep.
I can remember,
Which
camping.
Part?
Well, we initially went when I was very little, Rosebud.
Yeah.
And then we changed because we sort of was involved in the local church a lot, and they all went down to Torquay.
Oh, yeah.
In a big camping ground there. So we, my father bought all these trappings from one people that were retiring and weren't going to do there again. And we moved into Torquay, and I'd suggest we probably went there every Christmas for about over 10 years.
So this song brings back memories.
It does bring back memories. There are other memories of summer holiday. I do remember it was my first date.
Yep.
When I was in primary school, I was the year 10, and summer holiday came out with Cliff Richards, and I managed to ask Leslie Dark, my girlfriend, would she like to go to the pictures?
And do you know where she's these days?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Let's listen to it.
Okay.
Or two, fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you for a week or two. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true. Me and you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Certainly wish it was summer, but anyway, we're talking with George from U3A and all about his life. George, you were saying that after you'd given away the cars, that you were going out trying to get people on the dole into jobs. That was part of your job. While I don't want to denigrate anybody, what percentage of the people stayed in those jobs, do you think?
It wasn't a great percentage, but I can look back and say, well, I achieved something because there were a lot of people that did stay in jobs.
Yep.
And it was actually in sort of trying to from find employers.
Yep.
And one guy rang me up one day and he said, oh, listen, I need a couple of guys to do some gardening for me for a couple of weeks and I need this. And I went, oh, okay. So, by the way, I've got all these old computers here.
Yeah.
Would you like them? Because I know you sort of need them for your, you know, people. I said, oh, that'd be nice. And he said, yeah, well, I'm only repaying the favour because I was on the dole and I came to you and you got me this job and now I'm running the place. So, yeah, you try some good feedback. So that
right. Now, you just want to say something about your primary school before we move on.
I remember the summer holiday and my first date, but I do remember just in the primary school, the things you got up to. And I was actually, I tweaked very quickly. If I became milk monitor, I wouldn't have to drink that milk that's been sitting out in the sun
for the last three hours. Yep.
And when I got that gear, I thought, this is good. Listen, I'll do the heaters. Start the heaters up in the morning. So that got me out of the first half an hour of school, and then I became the rubbish monitor. That was great. Getting the rubbish together wasn't fun, but you got to play with the incinerator out the back. And what 10-year-old likes an incinerator? But I sort of must admit, after all those things, and I was reflecting on these days of health and safety rules and regulations. Yep. Well, I can assure you,
they did
not have any then.
Day Tripper by the Beatles, George.
Day Tripper. Well, actually, Day Tripper was the Beatles. It was the sign of I was sort of going to high school then. The Beatles are all big, and I just like the Beatles, and I picked that because I like that beginning riff.
Sounds good. Of course, they were part of the English invasion out here, weren't they?
Yes.
They really knocked some of our rock and rollers off the hit parade. George, you moved when you retired to Healesville. When did you get involved with U3A and what made you get involved with U3A?
I think I've told you before, I tend to volunteer for a lot of things that my wife knows more about than I do. I think she puts my hand up.
Yep.
No, but Rebecca, my wife, did join U3A.
Oh, so she joined first.
She joined first.
Yep.
And, yeah, I just sort of slowly got involved and I started getting involved with the committee.
Yep.
And the first function I actually have, and I still have, is class coordinator. And class coordinator is trying to get new classes coming in every year.
Yep.
Trying to retain the ones you have and then finding venues for them.
And then getting people.
And then getting people. And they all want the same spots, the same time. Everyone sort of who sits on the committee sort of says, George, boy, I'm glad you're doing this. The way I describe it, it's like if you ever had to take your cat to the local vet and you had to put it into a cardboard box before you took it. Well, you'd get one leg in, another leg and pop out. And that's what happens for about the first 3 months of the year as we try and find it all. But it all settles after a while.
Fly Me to the Moon with Frank Sinatra. How did that make the cut?
Well, as I was going through sort of my process, I guess 1969 came in mind. And we were sent home from high school to sit at our home in Tellys and watch the man land on the moon.
Remember that?
That was 1969. I remember very well.
Righto. Let's go.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 27 minutes to 3, 10 degrees, and we're talking with George from U3A. George, we always like to ask the big, hard questions on this show. What was your first car?
My first, well, I learnt to drive with a Vauxhall Velox 3 on the tree, no synchro. So once you can drive one of those, you can drive anything.
You can drive anything, yep.
The next car was a Morris Major Elite with an MG motor in it.
Yeah.
Then I bought a Capri. I bought that from Ford when I joined there.
Yep.
Ford Capri, just a 2-litre one, but, you know, the long snout one.
Yep.
And then I decided, I swapped that with someone for a fully concourse-winning TFMG 1250.
Sure, yeah.
I saw him coming.
Yeah.
So I put that away in the garage after a while, and what did I buy? I bought a Cortina or a couple of Cortinas.
Yep.
And then driving along Sydney Road one day, I looked in a car yard.
Oh, there's plenty of car yards out there.
It was my love of my life was looking at me, 3.8 S-Type Jag.
Yeah.
It was gold. And it was magnificent. It had the cocktail trays, the whole bit. And I remember I thought, oh, I'd have to have this. So I bought it. I remember I drove to Ford Motor Company and I picked up all the guys. We went down to Sylvania for lunch.
Yeah.
And they just thought it was the swishest things in the world. She was a beauty. So I kept that for a while.
Yep.
And in fact, that went to me when I was moved to Adelaide and they gave me my first company car.
Right.
But in between there, I had a Mini Moke. That was
the little Mini Moke. You said to me.
Well, I had the Mini Moke whilst I had the Jag. Yeah. And it was very handy because I lived in with a couple of mates in Carlton at the time and they started to put up all those barriers.
Yeah.
Oh, Mini Mokes were brilliant getting on medium strips and everything. I could carry about 15 guys on the back, so that was all right. And then it was, I think I just before, I then was given the keys to a Ford Falcon and said, okay, here's your company car. And I had company cars for the next 14 years at Ford and then Toyota, the same thing, company cars. Yeah. And then once I was out of the industry,
yep.
I bought myself a black Saab convertible.
Oh, yeah.
It was the original one, you know, the long snouted one.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny. One day the guys were cleaning it for me and they must have put the radiator hose or something on the fan belt.
Right.
So on the way home, it started to steam up and whatever. I pulled into a garage. I said, listen, give me a hand. Something's wrong with the car.
Right.
And he said, oh, okay, open the bonnet. Well, do you reckon I knew where that? Well, first of all, I couldn't find the trigger inside to open. And then we heard a click and we thought, okay, we're getting there. And the guy in the garage is sort of, well, where's the thing that you lifted? We didn't realise it actually lifts from the windscreen up.
Oh, of course,
so the whole body sort of came up. That sort of made me look like a real man.
All right, drive my car by the Beatles. Is this about working?
Well, that was really about sort of the drive my car. It just reminded me of that story then, just the cars I've had.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Let's listen. Choice Tunes, and I have with me George from U3A. George, out of all the courses that you've done, I'm not going to pit you against other groups or you know, some of these presenters might want to murder you before the day's out.
Yes.
What would you say is the one that you've enjoyed the most? Which one that you've been involved in?
It's pretty hard.
Yeah. But that's what we're here to ask.
Well, I'm here to avoid answering the question.
You're not.
there's one Hit the Road, which is really good. It's been in the local Yarra Valley Rag recently, and a lot of people read it and have just recently rung up and want to join.
Yep.
Hit the Road, we sort of pick a place to go, or the class leader does.
Yep.
And I'll use one example. We went to did a tour up to, can't remember the name now, where all the silo paintings are.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yep.
What is called?
Because there's some in the Western Districts and some in the Northern Districts.
All of the Western Districts we went to. And so that, it's very well planned. We sort of travel. You can have your own caravan or whatever, or wherever we plan to go, we always get rooms as well. So,
do you have a van yourself?
No, I don't.
Yep.
No, I don't.
Yep.
And we went to the Yarra Wallop. We sort of, first day up is you stop off for a lunch somewhere, get to a place. We'd have a go to the pub one night. And then when we got to where we're stationed, we'd like to get a communal sort of room where we all get together and have dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And there could be, the last time there was about 30 of us, if not more.
Yeah, that's all right.
Sometimes we have to restrict the numbers because we can't get the rooms in places.
Yep.
But we have communal dinners, breakfasts, activities during the day. We do go there. And once you've done that, you've made a lot of friends, basically.
Yeah.
And that is one of the highlights. Not one of the highlights, I shouldn't say that. It's one of those group ones that sort of get you involved in U3A
and I know we've talked to people before from U3A. We've had others in. And they say that particularly when they moved into Healesville, they sort of were a bit lost. They didn't know anyone. And they said they got involved with U3A. And one of the beauties was that when they go down the street and shop or go for a coffee, they can be hours because they finish up talking to this one and this one and have a coffee.
Yeah, so my wife goes out for a loaf of bread and comes back 3 hours later with a lot of stories. Well, in fact, you mentioned I'd filled up with petrol just before coming here today. And there were two people from U3A filling up at the same time.
Terrific, isn't it?
All whinging about the price, but that's kind
of... And it's good for... we talk about social isolation. I mean, that could be one of the big problems of the future.
Well, the last two years have made it hard for us because of COVID.
Yep.
We seem to have got through that, and, that's the reason. Sort of get out of the house, come, and we've had functions just recently. We've got a night planned in July.
Yep.
We're just having a ball. We've got hired the Yarra Glen Hall.
Yep.
And we've got a band. We've hired a couple of bands. We just said, bring along your own supper. And tickets are flying out. So it's just a matter of just keeping everyone involved. And John, as president, does a pretty good job.
Yep.
But all, I guess, members of U3A come in. If it wasn't for the individual members, we wouldn't have a group. So that's great.
All right. Willie Nelson, on the road again.
Well, on the road again, I was when I went to Adelaide for the first time. The boss gave me a set of car keys with my first company car, and he said, righto, go for it. I said, what? Oh, you'll figure it out.
Let's listen.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. Can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends. On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
Righto, George, we're working our way through your life and all the different things that you've done through your life. If you hadn't have got involved with Ford, what, and if you had your choice of a career anywhere you liked in the world, doesn't have to be here in Victoria, doesn't have to be in Australia, or, and any job you would have liked to have done, what would you have done?
That's a very hard question. I know Ford Motor Company was an instrument of what I did.
Yeah.
Being in sales and marketing and doing sales and sort of I wasn't building cars.
No, but
I was. Oh, that's what I'm just saying. Yeah. So it wasn't really a desire to get involved in engines and bolts and stuff.
Yep.
It was more of a getting involved in the process.
Yep.
And I was thinking the other day, I could have sold anything.
So that's what I'm getting at, though. Would if it hadn't been for the cars, would you have been in sales, or is there another career path altogether that you could have taken if it hadn't been for sales and marketing?
Well, as I said, I went in the logistics sort of step.
Yep.
And I didn't really see that as being any different. Well, it wasn't. It was a slow process because my first thing in distribution was shipping cars.
Yep.
I sort of was a car carrying company for 5 years.
Yep.
And in fact, when I said it was sold, we were bought by Patrick's. Because we'd built the thing up. So it was more of building companies and just, running businesses, I think, was more that. It wasn't necessarily the car thing.
No. All right. Summertime with Billy Thorpe.
Billy Thorpe, I just thought your listeners would like Summertime playing in the background on a day when it's 11, raining and windy.
Haven't even hit 11 yet, George. We're still at 10.
Enjoy it.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and I've got with me George from U3A, and we've just about gone through his whole life with his music. George, I know that you're in sales and marketing, so, but you were still involved with the car industry for a long while. Now, at one stage, Toyota were just the thing. They just never seemed to break down. Those Camrys, they did hundreds of thousands of kilometres, and they just seemed to be the best car. But along the line, what would you say, first of all, the Australian car, what was the best car we produced? I know you worked for Ford, but let's take every car into it.
I think Magna was a very good car.
Yep.
I bought about three or four for the family.
They never
sons.
Seemed to go that well, did they? Is there a reason for that? They didn't seem to sell all that well.
I don't know. I don't know the reason. It was because it was a great car.
Yep.
Or they were great cars.
Yeah.
Even just the original Toyotas, like the original Corolla, or the Corollas. You can't kill a Corolla.
No. Or the Camry.
Or a Camry.
Yep.
I've currently got a Camry and a Corolla.
Yep.
It's very difficult. Like, you look at Commodores and people swear by Commodores or they swear by Falcons.
Yep.
And now they've got nothing to argue about because none of them are there.
Yep.
But some of the great cars, I think, were those early Toyotas.
Yep.
It wasn't built here, but my favourite car was a Cressida.
Oh, yes. So I remember the Cressida.
You got into a Cressida, you knew you were going to have a nice ride.
Yep.
And the car was going to... I saw one the other day and I thought, geez, it's still looking good.
Yeah, they're collectible.
And it's about 30-odd years old.
Yeah, they're collectible. Yeah. All right, George, so let's open it up a bit further. We've talked about the Australian cars. If you could buy any car in the world, except we won't talk a Rolls-Royce or a Bentley. I mean, we really... that's going to be an obvious answer. But if you could today go out and buy any car in the world, what sort of car would you buy?
I have had BMWs and they're very well built.
Right.
As long as you didn't get one from South Africa.
Not good.
Mercedes-Benz are very good cars.
Yep.
However, I would still, and I'm thinking of probably buying a car soon, but I'd buy a Camry.
Would you?
I think they're just, they're the great package. And I'd looked at prices the other day. Now you get a Camry for... $30,000, which that's a lot of money.
Yep.
I think Falcons used to cost $2,500.
Yeah, but
that was a long time ago. Petrol also cost about 20 cents.
I got it. Yeah.
So they're my choice of car. I would buy a Camry for the sake of driving a car that will start every time and stop every time you want it to.
And just keep going forever. Yeah. George, there was other cars. Brands like there was, I can remember the old Simca Ron because I really wanted one of those and I couldn't afford one. So apart from the Ford, the Mitsubishi, or the Chrysler and the Holden, we had a number of Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
We had a number of others like the Sigma and that weren't produced here, were they? Or were they?
Yes, they did.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, they built the Sigma. I remember.
No, the Simca.
No, I don't
think. That was a French car, I think.
So, yes.
They were import. Yeah. But a lot of those cars we still put together, didn't we? We're not like now where we bring the Japanese car in already completed.
Oh, that's the origins of, say, the Laser. Well, not the Laser. A lot of them were CKD, which is complete knockdown packages. So you'd buy 100 cars in 10 containers.
Just bang them all.
And that's how AMI started. Because that Corolla was an assembly operation of parts built in and shipped in from overseas, and the factory would put them together.
So you didn't actually bring them, when you say you bring them in, like you didn't bring them in, each box, did that have a complete car?
No, you just brought the pieces in. It was here, it's engines there or whatever.
Yeah, I thought they might have just come in.
I thought of something the other day that someone was talking about I'm talking about AMI, Toyota, the Triumph Herald. Do you remember that car?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was made out of cardboard, basically. So you wouldn't want to go out in the rain. But they imported a massive amount of bits and pieces to build them.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden Australia said, no, we don't want to buy these.
Yep.
So they had to actually pay duty on them if they built them. So they actually just opened up Port Melbourne and they're buried in there and they're out in the ocean. Sure. Hundreds and thousands of them.
George, we've got to go.
All right.
Bette Midler. Bette Midler?
I know, I've always liked Bette Midler. I think she's good music. I think she's one of my early albums. I can't remember when that was, about 1970, I think it was. But it's a very nice song, and it's sort of, once you go looking back in your life sometimes, listen to it, and it'll jog a few memories for you.
Got it. Okay. So, thanks for coming in, George.
Thanks very much, Alan.
Bye.
There are places I remember all my life. Though some have changed, some forever, not for better. And some have gone, and some remain. All these places have their moments. Still can recall, some are dead and some are living. In my life, I love them all. In my life, I love.